the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 214 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. Did I already say wonderful? I think I did. Jen Ghetto of the band S is going to be joining us here shortly in the backyard. And we're going to be talking about her old band, Carissa's Weird, and also her new band, S, and this amazing, sad, heart-wrenching, very personal album that is coming out tomorrow called Cool Choices. Folks, this is one of my top picks for one of the best albums of the year already. I can already tell, man. And I mean, seriously, it's September. So we're closing in on that year mark, aren't we? Yeah. This is seriously an amazing record. And I hope you guys go out and get a copy when it comes out tomorrow. Let's see. Where can you find Jen Ghetto? Why don't you go to the Hardly Art website if you're not going to be on one of her tour spots, which you can find out about on Facebook. Just type Jen Ghetto into the search bar or S, and you come up with it there. And you can also go to hardlyart.com. Order the vinyl that is going to come out Tuesday, the 22nd of September, 2014. If you're hearing this somewhere like in the future, like 2018, it's already out. You can get it. You can get it right now. You don't have to wait. But if you're listening to this in real time, man, yeah, tomorrow, 22nd. Get your hands on it because it's just fantastic. And we're gonna talk a lot about this album and what went into making it and the sadness that went into it as well. And I hope you guys really enjoy it because we had a great conversation. So let's just get into it, shall we? Before we do, we want to remind you guys that we get sponsorship from the wonderful people at Naked City Brewery and Tap House, located here in beautiful Seattle, Washington. They're doing this thing called the Naked Sessions in conjunction with, I just lost it. I had it all pulled up on the computer, and now it is friggin' gone. That's how we run things here. The Naked Sessions in conjunction with the little TV show called Band in Seattle. Naked Sessions number 5 coming up on September 27th. Galen from Pickwick is going to be gracing the stage there and telling some stories about the music that he's singing. So go and check it out. It's at 8 p.m. September 27th. Get your tickets now at brownpapertickets.com. You can also see Laugh Riot, our friends Derek Sheen and some other people putting on Laugh Riot, a great comedy showcase there in the screening room at Naked City Brewery. And that's happening on September 13th at 10 p.m. Get tickets to that. Oh, wait. It's not the 13th anymore. We're way past that, Roden. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What am I doing, man? What am I doing? It's late. I can't be blamed for this. We've got a lot on our plate here. The kids, you know, they basically just suck. And that's what's going on. Scratch that. September 13th has already happened, folks. but go to the Naked Sessions. And follow Naked City on Facebook. Check out their beer selection. If you're here in Seattle, if you're listening elsewhere, maybe you should start requesting Naked City beer at your favorite watering hole, because that's a distinct possibility that it would show up, guys. And this is some of the best stuff around, let me tell you. I wouldn't have them sponsoring my show without it being some of the best beer in the world, right? That's right. Yes, NakedCityBrewing.com. Go and check it out. Tell them Air Raid sent you, and you know they're going to continue helping us keep the lights on here in the backyard. So let's do this, folks. Let's listen to this song. It's called "Wait" by Jen Ghetto, the band S, off of the album "I'm Not as Good as I'm Not as Good at It as You," from her album in 2010. And we'll be hearing more from Jen Ghetto in the rest of the episode, and her new album, "Cool Choices." So stick around. This song is called "Wait," and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. A special guest this week, Jen Ghetto of the band S. All right. Be back in a moment, folks.
And I will wait for you to call or come home. I will wait, thinking only good things. I will wait. And I will wait. And I will wait.
Ones that we've already released. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. That's all right. It's a strange thing. Like, you know, doing this now and interacting with people like yourself and record labels and stuff, and like learning like, oh, okay. Yeah. Everything is staggered out, and there's a precise science to when they're releasing a single and all this other stuff. I still don't really understand it, but it makes sense more now.
Yeah, they have a definite system.
Yeah.
That I don't get.
You don't get it either?
No, but it seems to work whatever they do. You know. They're like, this is coming out this day. This is coming out this day.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
happening this day.
Yeah. Do you have somebody like managing your calendar? Does Hardly Art kind of manage your calendar for you?
No, I had someone made me a wall calendar And yeah. because I cannot, my phone calendar doesn't make any sense to me. It's just a dot. And I'm like, that was a dot that day. I don't even know what that means. So I had to have a wall calendar so I could write it. Everything's written. So I have to look at it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be like, oh, that week's busy. There's a lot of writing on that week.
There's a lot of dots on that day.
Yeah.
I still have trouble. I need to find somebody. Anybody who's listening to this, if you want to be a free, unpaid intern and manage my calendar, that would be awesome.
I think wall calendar is the way to go. Go back.
I think, yeah. I just need to bring it. I just need to remind myself to look at it.
Yeah, and write we've stuff got on it.
Well, right. My wife, you met her, Mairead, mm-hmm. she's great. She has the calendar in the kitchen and everything, and she'll, like, when we have guests lined up and stuff for the show, she'll write it down on there. But my problem is that I never even notice it. Like, I'll just walk past that calendar from day to day and never even look at it. And then this happened, and I was like, oh, yeah, Jen Ghetto's going to come in. We're going to talk about her awesome new album, Cool Choices, which is coming out next Tuesday. Or wait, this is going to go. See, this is why I need help.
Because when this comes out, it'll be tomorrow.
That's right. Exactly.
Instead of getting so good at
calendars. Will you be my unpaid intern, please, and manage my calendar for me? That would be fantastic, Jen.
It'll get kind of mixed up with my calendar.
Right. But then the Seahawks game is coming up, and now I'm like, I'm emailing you, and I'm saying, hey, how about we make this earlier? And screwing things up. But thank you so much for being...
Luckily, my calendar's in pencil.
Okay, good.
It's because I could erase it.
Yeah.
Not 3 p.m.
Yeah, totally. But I really appreciate you coming out. Do you watch any football? Do you get on that bandwagon at all?
I watch football because I work in a sports bar.
Oh, you do?
But other than that, I mean, I appreciate that Seattle's doing well, but it's not... doesn't interest me the way it does, I think, other people.
Right. Yeah. I would call myself a fair weather fan. Like, mm-hmm. if a Seattle team starts doing well, then I'll hop on, and it's fun to, like, you know, be a part of it. It's more, for me, it's like more food stuff. Like, oh, now I can eat like 8 cheeseburgers today.
Right. You can just worry about the Seahawks game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Jen Ghetto, joining me in the backyard. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
New album coming out tomorrow. Called Cool Choices.
I like how we're in the future.
I know, right? It kind of fucks with your mind a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic album. Hardly Art sent me a advanced copy of it, and I'm just trying to silence my cell phone right now. That's what I'm doing. But it's so good. It is so good. And it's very reminiscent of, there's a little bit of like math rock tones in there a little bit,
mm-hmm.
a la like Minus the Bear.
Yeah, there's definitely some mathy stuff going on.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, then the dual vocals, what do you even call that? Like, do you sing it twice?
I sing it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always just kind of liked that, I guess. Maybe because I don't fancy myself a great singer, so like two seems better than one.
I remember when I first did that on a four track recording that I was working on for myself, you know, it was not going anywhere, but I remember playing it back and listening back to that when I dual tracked my vocals, and I was just like, whoa, that's the shit. Because I was like, that's what Elliott Smith does.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And it just sounds so good. And I am a sucker for that. Like, anybody that's doing that on a record, man, I'm buying it.
I like it.
Yeah, it sounds really good. You've been doing that for a while too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to work out. I mean, and I feel like maybe it was just like not liking how I sounded. And just singing so quietly, like two helped it.
Sure.
Pushed it up above the guitars.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a great album. Congratulations. And
Thank you. We're
going to be featuring a couple of songs off of it here in a little bit. But let's talk about you a little bit. You're a guitar player, right?
I am.
And a singer. I would call you a singer.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Where did this all start for you? Where did music enter Jen Ghetto's life?
I guess I was pretty little.
Yeah.
I you know, elementary school, had to play a band instrument. Decided to
really
play the trumpet.
The trumpet. Yeah. It wasn't the recorder.
No, I mean, I remember having a recorder at some point. Mm-hmm. I always enjoyed musical stuff.
Was your family like musical? A lot of music in the house?
No.
No?
No. Well, my mom was like NPR. That was on
talk radio.
Talk radio.
Okay.
Maybe some classical music.
Sure, sure.
I think she had, you know, like a bad college, like, breakup experience and was like, I can't listen to that kind of music anymore.
Really? It was that bad.
I don't know. I just always, like, when I remember getting into, like, Led Zeppelin and stuff, she'd be like, oh, this, I can't listen to this.
Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible.
I think she's come around.
I would hope so. So was that like your first, you say Led Zeppelin, are you just using that as kind of an example, or was that something that you like first got into? Like when you were first getting into like music, like for real,
for real, mm-hmm.
Right? You're a teenager or something like that. And then like something comes out of the blue and hits you square in the chest and you're like, that's it. was there a moment like that? Can you remember a moment like that?
Probably Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses?
Was my, like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
What is this band doing?
Right.
You know, and, like, I'd seen people wearing Guns N' Roses t-shirts. I don't know how I was really got into it, but it was all I would listen to. And just, I remember waiting for Use Your Illusions to come out.
Uh-huh.
Like, just like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And I must have been 14 or something. It was just a weird time for music, too. And it's weird now because Appetite is still one of my favorite records.
Yeah.
But I think there's so much, like, weirdness with Axl Rose and, like, you know.
Well, he's gone through that whole, like, I don't know if he still is, but that whole cornrow period.
That, yeah. And just, hair. Like, he says some pretty horrible things.
Like what?
I don't know.
Just like
being pretty misogynist and racist.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know,
oh,
just
racist
like,
too.
How do I, you know, have it like incorporating like this is a person and also this person wrote this record that I really like.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's hard to come to terms with sometimes, man.
It is.
Like, I mean, hearing your face, like just movie stars, for example,
sure.
Like say weird, crazy shit. Like what was it? Was it Clint Eastwood or something that got up at some sort of like Republicans convention and started like he had some like there was an empty chair there and he was trying to make it like Obama was pretend sitting in the chair and it just did not go well. It went better than me retelling the story, but it did not go well. And just hearing him like, you know, riff on some crazy conservative spiel. Was like, oh, Clint Eastwood?
Right,
oh.
Yeah.
Right. They got him.
But, yeah, and it's like, well, does it take away from their art? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, can I still enjoy Dirty Harry?
Like, right.
You know? I don't know. I think I can.
Yeah, I put it in a different category of, like, me being a teenager.
Sure,
Guns
sure.
N' Roses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then Use Your Illusion the one that, like, took forever to come out?
Took so many years. It was the double record. Big mistake.
Okay. Yeah.
People just shouldn't do that.
Right.
I thought about it, but
yeah.
I was like, oh, Guns N' Roses, Smashing Pumpkins. Not a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the one that just like recently like came out like within the last 10 years, right? That everybody was waiting for.
Yeah. And then like nothing good has come out since then.
No, not at all. Although I will say a friend of mine, Kevin, bought the Blu-ray. 3D Blu-ray of the Use Your Illusion tour.
Wow.
You can watch it. You can watch Guns N' Roses, the new version of Guns N' Roses in 3D. Pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the bands that kind of hit you when you were younger and what made you get more into music or did that even like make you want to play guitar?
That made me want to play guitar.
Really?
Like, I wanted to be Slash.
Sure, sure.
And I was so sad when I realized I will never be Slash. Like after a year of playing guitar, I was like, this just isn't working. I've been playing for a year now. I should be able to play this riff, you know, and just not understanding that he's got crazy gear and $1,000 guitar and I'm playing out of a crate amp. And
It's just, well, and that's all he did for freaking years and years and years. Yeah.
It was hard. But you know, when you're 14, you can't grasp that.
Sure.
It's just like, this isn't working. Done.
When I first started playing guitar, I wanted to be Jimi Hendrix. And so, and that, obviously that did not pan out. All these guitars on the back wall have dust on them now, but
beautiful guitars though.
Right. Beautiful. I'm very happy with this, with this
I'm impressed.
Collection.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jen. But, yeah, I mean, that's a real thing when you're a kid, like you don't realize how long things take. Right.
Right.
Like I didn't practice enough to be any sort of like soloing genius, you know?
Yeah. You kind of miss the point of work.
Right. Right. Exactly. But there's so many kids now that like are into like the, I call it like a noodle factory where it's just like the heavy metal, speed metal stuff.
Right.
You know, and they'll just sit in front of YouTube for hours and hours and hours and just practice these riffs over and over and over again. And so, I mean, some kids are like mind-blowingly good at this stuff.
So
now.
Great.
Yeah.
That's how I learned how to play guitar now.
Really?
I'm like,
You just watch like YouTube stuff?
I YouTube Wicked Riff or Hot Lick. And it's some teenager like just noodling around. I'm like, what's it? What are they doing? And then I just try and play it.
Do you still try to do that kind of stuff? Like you're still trying to constantly like learn more how to be a better guitar player?
Yeah, it's fun because I play at my own skill level. So
sure,
if I can
sure.
find something challenging, it's really fun.
Right on. So when did you start like joining bands and stuff? Was that still the teen years?
Teen years. And I was, you know, Curses Weird kind of started when I was a teenager.
How old were you when that first started?
I was 17 or 18.
Really?
So, and that was like the first band I was in and just kind of went on.
With Matt Brook, right?
Yeah.
You guys, what, didn't you work? Matt's been on the show a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And you guys like worked together or something from what I can remember, right?
We're just kind of in the same... You know, like we went to different high schools.
Okay.
But, you know, all like the weird kids hung out at this club, you know, this all ages club. And we just kind of were just too weird.
And where was that? That was Midwest?
Tucson.
Tucson.
Yeah.
Tucson, Arizona. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of weird kids there. So you're kind of like all stuck together.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'd hang out at the all ages club, like just watching music?
Yeah, just like goth dancing and Matt and I really didn't dance. We would just like talk about other people dancing.
Right,
like, those guys are weird. And then
sitting in the back in your black trench coat. Yeah.
Smoking cigarettes. Totally.
Of course. So you're what, 17 at that time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what brings you out to Washington?
I guess we had been, you know, Matt and I were really good friends and we were just traveling and playing guitars, being teenagers. And
were you playing music at the time, like together? Like,
yeah, we had played like a couple coffee shops and I had somehow managed to get my hands on a 4-track. So we were recording like early. I mean, we were called Carissa's Weird at the time. It seems funny now, so long ago. But yeah, we had like a tape. We just play weird places. And then we ended up in Seattle kind of randomly, just like our van broke down in Olympia. And we wanted to go to San Francisco. We were like making a loop around the country. And
yeah,
it's like, well, I guess we're living in Olympia now.
that's literally how that happened.
Yeah.
And how you guys ended up in Olympia.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It was almost like I feel like the axle broke on our van. Like it was like we were literally just stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they didn't have any money to fix it.
No money. We had to get jobs, which is really hard to do when you don't have a phone or a house, you know? They're like, put down your phone number. You're like, well, I'm living out of my van. Finally, we met this like really nice guy who was like, I was like, we're homeless. We really need jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, all right, you guys need to take showers. But he hired us. So
oh, like, that's great. That's yeah. great. What was that? What was the work?
It was like this. I was working as a dishwasher in a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
It's pretty great.
Dude, were you? That sounds kind of scary. Like I'm the type of person that would be freaking out. Like if that had happened, I would be really freaking out. Like if I was stuck and then, you know, coming to terms with like, oh my God, I am homeless right now. Like, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That would really freak me out.
Even as a teenager?
Oh yeah. God. Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
It didn't scare you though.
Well, we had been living out of our van cause we were traveling.
Sure. Sure.
So it wasn't like a huge new change. Mm-hmm. It was just like, well, I guess we got to get jobs. And it was more like the hardship of like trying to get a job without a phone.
Okay.
Was just like ridiculously hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, I think Matt and I were both like really hard workers. So it was terrible, but we eventually got a place.
That's good. Know? Yeah. 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 Totally. Totally. And how long did you guys end up staying down there then?
We were there about a year. And then,
really?
And then, yeah. We had been friends with Ben, and he was like, I'm coming to Olympia. We're going to Seattle.
Ben Bridwell?
Yeah.
And did you guys know him obviously from where, Tucson?
We knew him from Tucson, but then he had moved away and then found out we were in Olympia and was like, coming out.
And that was the place for music.
Yeah.
Like weird indie music. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. There was a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We were not included. Olympia is a hard town.
yeah. I've played down there a couple times at the Voyer. Uh-huh. You ever played the Voyer?
I played the Voyer,
Oh, my God, that weird little concrete room with the, Jesus Christ, the paint on the walls and stuff on the floor. Such a weird room. I remember, I was in college when I played there, and... it wasn't the greatest of bands ever, you know, and I remember playing there, and it was right after one of the war protests. The Evergreen State College had like organized this like war protest, and
sounds about right.
Yeah, right. And we had played there right afterwards, and our drummer was fairly conservative, and he at one point during the show said, hey, we really appreciate everything that you guys are doing out there and stuff, but we also got to appreciate the troops. And man, did everything just fucking go to shit after that. It was not a fun show
that one.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like that room, what fits like what? 40 maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's so small.
It's tiny.
It's so tiny. Oh, God. And like half of them left after that. It was bad.
At least there were people there.
Yeah. There were people. I mean, I'm saying half like I'm implying that it was full. Right. It's like maybe 10.
Yeah.
And so then there were five.
That's how my shows go there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a tough place to play.
It is tough. I mean, there's definitely something about Olympia that I love, mm-hmm. you know, because it is such a bubble, you know, and everybody's just can be as weird as they want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a tough town.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, do you think that has something to do with like K Records and like it being the music that went on in that town for so long was so in crowd, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was like so far removed from everything else. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like Calvin Johnson, you know, really cultivated this like whole like real dark hipster, not very inclusive kind of vibe.
Yeah.
In the music scene down there. That's got to play into that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, too, I imagine like it was a really small town. And then I think when that stuff was getting somewhat popular, I'm mm-hmm. sure just like people moving there. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it must have been kind of weird. So everyone was like, and just the Northwest in general is kind of like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're really friendly, and then, but I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you directions, but don't shake my hand or anything.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, the Seattle freeze, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you experienced that? Like, when you guys moved from Olympia, you and Matt, up here to Seattle, did you experience the Seattle freeze? Is that a real thing?
I think that it's real. I don't. Yeah. I think we got really lucky, and we knew a couple folks up here. And
what year are we talking, by the way? What is this?
98.
Okay. Okay.
Like, we immediately somehow got cool jobs at Bimbo's Cha-Cha Lounge. It was just like
perfect.
How did I get this job? You know, I was just the dishwasher there, but
yeah,
you know, it was like working with Murder City Devils and
right.
You know, everyone was in a band, and I was like, well, I have a cool job.
Well, this is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great. So like immediately you kind of felt like you were part of the scene a little bit, maybe.
I mean, even that was a little. They were doing their own thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was cool.
Yeah.
You know, people were definitely somewhat responsive. I can't even remember. Like, I just remember, like, some people found out Matt and I were in a band and were like, oh. Maybe, I think it's because Matt and I were both really quiet.
Uh-huh.
And just, like, didn't talk to anybody and worked at this job. And they were like, who are those two and why are they weird? And
they must be from Olympia. Or Tucson.
I think we didn't tell anybody we came from Olympia.
Uh-huh.
Because we didn't want...
Like... to instantly be like a stigma.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so bad. That's so bad. So how long did it take you, though, to get actually form what people know now as Carissa's Weird and start playing shows as that band?
It didn't seem like too long.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with the guy, Robin Perringer, at the Cha-Cha Lounge.
Okay.
And he had been in a lot of bands in the 90s. He was older than us and was like, I'm going to be your drummer. We're going to get shows. This is how it's going to work. We'll use my car.
And I just got this picture in my head, like, you're just still washing this plate, just like, all right.
I really honestly think, like, Matt and I had no idea what hit us. It was like, all of a sudden we had shows in Seattle, and, you know, it was pretty, you know, it's like one of those things when you're that age, I think it feels like whatever's happening to you feels normal.
Sure, sure.
You don't realize that.
You're just going along with it.
It's difficult to get a show in Seattle.
Yeah, 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 totally.
But
where was the first show that you played in Seattle?
I don't remember. It might have been, it was when the Showbox had a weird night where they would open the side stage, like before they did the build out.
Okay.
There was just like a little tiny stage off to the side.
Like where the bar is now?
Where the bar is.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
And it was like they had free corn dogs and you played for free.
Uh-huh.
And we were just excited to be playing a show.
Yeah, yeah. Was it nerve-wracking?
I was terrified.
Yeah?
I mean, we had just played like on the street and like to nobody at parties, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then to go to be playing this show. And, you know, it wasn't like a ton of people were there or anything. But
yeah, yeah.
Someone threw a hot dog.
Somebody threw a hot dog at you guys?
Oh, no. I mean, I think back and I was like, I mean, we were making some weird music.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember being... I think Carissa's Weird kind of came on the radar for me like way after, I think probably even maybe a year after you guys had already broken up.
Yeah.
And then, and it was strange to me too, because you guys were a cool band, but you never really got much traction here in town until you were no longer a band.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden, everybody was like, oh, yeah, I was a huge fan of Carissa's Weird.
Right.
And I think I've actually heard a quote from you in an interview saying, like, where the fuck were you guys when we were actually playing music?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that bother you at all?
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I think we had broken up twice, and both times it seemed like this influx of folks.
Like people were making it a big deal.
Yeah. Or like, you know, we moved to Portland at one time and it was like this big deal that we were moving to Portland. And we were like, really? Like Seattle's losing Carissa's Weird to Portland, you know, and we were like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, by the time we broke up, I think, you know, there was so much stuff going on that you know, the year later when it seemed like people cared, mm-hmm. it was just like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's still cool though. I mean, I feel like I got to be a part of something cool, you know,
yeah.
that was underground.
nobody knew about it until now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Until 10 years later. So what was that? That was like what? 2003, I want to say, right?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I know that is because I read your Wikipedia page like 10 minutes before you got here.
It has some things that are accurate.
and then it after Carissa's Weird broke up, you immediately started this solo project called S.
Yeah.
Correct? And why S? What does S stand for or mean?
I had started it when I was in Carissa's Weird.
Uh-huh.
And I think I just wanted to have like a, as much as we weren't very popular, a less popular side project. Mm-hmm. You know? And I just thought S was cool. You know, it was just like, just seemed like I was basically just like, that seems cool.
Yeah, yeah.
To just be a letter. Not realizing that the internet would happen and
sure.
Google search engine. And I cannot compete with that. But I mean, I guess I was really started doing it after Carissa's Weird broke up, which wasn't, I don't think I really wanted to be doing it. I just didn't know what else to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you knew that you wanted to be playing music, but you didn't know what.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, when Carissa's Weird broke up, it was, you know, I really had decided like I didn't want to tour and I didn't.
Oh, really?
I was just like kind of burnt.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't. You know, we had been touring for a long time and it's hard when you don't make any money and it's, you're working so much and drinking a ton. And then I immediately start into this other project.
Yeah.
Because Suicide Squeeze was like, hey, do you want to do a record? And I was like, yeah. Not thinking about like, no, I don't. So I made that record.
Uh huh.
And then I was like, so I feel bad about it sometimes because, you know, I wouldn't tour and they were like, will you play this show? And I'd be like, no, I don't want to play that show. I don't want to
You were turning them down.
Like, yeah. I didn't want to do any interviews. I didn't want to, I just was, man. You know, it was just like, ooh, that was a bad time to put out a record. I think I was just like recovering from Carissa's Weird.
Sure.
Too.
Sure. Were you a little bit, I mean, were you bummed that it had fallen through or were you bummed that like things weren't working out? Was that what was going on a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just tired.
Uh-huh.
And I think I was needed a break.
Yeah.
You know, I was drinking so much too and I think I needed someone to maybe like step in and be like, you need to clean up your act a little bit.
Chill out for a little while.
I needed someone to, you know, and like we were all partying and so like no one could really see what was going on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it was definitely like everyone was just like, you know, we were an insane band.
Yeah.
You know, people would be like, how are you guys touring? Like we toured with the Long Winters and they were like, you guys are crazy.
John Roderick told you guys you were crazy.
They were like, we have never seen anybody drink so much.
Oh, wow.
We just liked to have a good time, but I could see where it was like, we would get back from tours and the booking agent would be like, so you owe us? We'd be like, what? Well, we spent all our money.
Are you serious? Yeah, for what? For like,
well, just like you owe them a percentage of what you make.
Oh, sure.
At shows
sure.
And okay. stuff. And okay. We would always spend it all, not realizing. We were just like, we needed a manager.
Yeah, yeah. A manager that could stay sober for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did that ever, I mean, So when that band broke up, did you have a moment of clarity where you just kind of stepped back and was like, I need to, I really need to take a break? Or was it just something that you didn't really see yet? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely just plowed into that next record and, you know.
So you you immediately just kind of like became a little bit reclusive on your own and introverted into your own music.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And I think that the breakup of Carissa's Weird, I think, was really hard on everybody.
Yeah.
Because I think it happened right at a point when we were kind of picking up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, you know, it's hard when your band breaks up. And I think everyone was like really sad. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
We were all kind of mad at each other too. So like no one was really hanging out.
And oh, no.
It was hard. And then I just kind of was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And then Suicide Squeeze was like, hey. Hey. Come on, do this. No,
yeah,
no, not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's take our second musical break. We're featuring songs from the band S, which is basically you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
yeah. But now you have you're touring with people though, right?
I'm
or
touring.
You're playing shows with people.
These people wrote on the record too.
Awesome, awesome, great. Okay, the album is called Cool Choices by S, and this song is called Vampires. One of the first singles that came off of it. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Jen Ghetto of Band S. Stay with us. It is. It should be kind of an easy thing to get down, but I just have never been able to.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes I think most adults seem to do this normally.
They seem to have their shit together, right? You know, but the older I get and the more adults that I interact with, Not necessarily the case.
Not so much.
I don't think anybody really has their shit together.
No.
Like it's all just a fucking lie. You know, like nobody, they may look like it. They have their stuff together. Like I hope I look like I have my shit together, but I really don't. Like inside, it's just a constant fucking anxiety panic attack.
Yeah.
Just like one drink away from like exploding at my neighbors, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, welcome back.
Panic attacks.
Panic attacks. You just heard Vampires off of the album Cool Choices by Jen Ghetto and her band S, which comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
The future. And should be available in a lot of different places, including like the Hardly Art website and at your local record stores as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
And are you guys going on a tour to support this thing too?
Tour. Yeah. We start tour October 9th in Portland.
Awesome. Awesome. So we talked a little bit about like your experience with Carissa's Weird. I'm always on the verge of saying Clarissa is weird.
Of course.
Which is, you know, obviously. but you said like you were getting tired of touring. Basically, your psyche and your body probably was shutting down from all the drinking and partying that you guys were doing. Do you now enjoy touring more as you've gotten older? You've matured a little bit, and you know, because you have toured since, right?
Yes, I think figuring out how to tour was good.
Yeah,
you know, just I definitely enjoy it more.
Yeah.
And you know,
do you view it now as like more of a, is it just like, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. This is my job. Right. Do you take it a little bit more seriously now than you did as a teenager?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think I enjoy performing more than I did.
You do.
You know, I think, you know, something about being a teenager and especially like in your early 20s, like I personally just felt like I didn't like myself very much.
Who would
and like the band and, you know, I think performing was so, you know, I mean, we had some crazy, some sad songs and I think I've figured out how to perform in a way that's enjoyable and
interact with
people,
yeah.
You know, that's feels more regular.
Well, good, good. Do you still get nervous on stage?
I do.
Really?
I do. I still like, I, it's hard. You know, I play piano on this record and it was a new instrument to like be shaking and trying to play.
Oh yeah.
Just be like, oh no, this is new.
Oh man. Is it going well though? Like, are you getting it down? Are you able to kind of control that a little bit?
Yeah. It's starting to work out a little bit. I think by this tour, it'll be normal.
So let me ask you this. This is always something that I'm very curious about. Cause I have a lot of stage anxiety. I have to actually take a pill for it whenever I get asked to like host something,
yeah,
you know, or be an MC.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's fucking awful. Like I hate it, but I love it at the same time, you know, like when it's all said and done, I'm just like, that was amazing. That was so great. But, the more you do it, like, let's say like mid tour, are you finally over the anxiety of getting up there or are you still kind of an anxious person? For lack of a better term, mess when you get up on stage.
I feel like I'm probably more relaxed just in the sense of I'm so tired. You know, like by the middle of a tour, it's just like, I'm tired. I don't know how I'm going to play the show.
Yeah. You know? And you just go up there and do it.
You know, and then it's like adrenaline hits you. And so I'll still get nervous. Like it'll be like right when I get on stage, I'm like, oh, all right, all these people are here. I got to sing this song about my feelings.
Right. That's one thing I wanted to ask you too. Like this album, I've listened through the whole thing and it is like beautifully written. But man, is it a gut wrencher? Like it is like a really, Jen, this is a really sad album. Like I sitting there and during some songs and I can't name them, but during some of the songs, like I will actually tear up. Like it makes me a little emotional. Listen to this record.
Yeah, it's emotional.
it's a tough one, man. But it's like, I mean, it's very poppy. and which makes it like the tempos are upbeat in most of the songs, and so it has this like weird dichotomy where the music itself is happy, but the lyrics and the vocals and stuff are kind of about much more darker things.
Yeah, I like it to call it dark pop.
Dark pop. yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect, actually.
The record is so, like, sometimes in a general sense, I'm like, this record's so poppy. You know, but I know it's a sad record at the same time.
It is, yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's kind of weird.
Well, I think it works. It works so well together. But what was... So this is... Obviously, this is kind of a breakup record, right?
This is kind of a breakup record.
Yeah, yeah. And do you care to go into that at all? Like, do you want to talk about that?
I mean, what I'll say is, I mean, I guess it's not necessarily about like a breakup. I mean, it's about a breakup, but kind of like what happens after a breakup.
Sure.
And like, you know, the year of going through that, and then like, you know, just having someone move out and dealing with that.
Dividing up the stuff,
yeah. You know, who gets the dog?
Yeah.
You know, then
who gets to still hang out with the group of friends?
Right.
Right.
Who gets to go to that club?
Right.
And then, you know, and even like, who's ever going to date me again?
Right, know? Right. Yeah.
And then even like dating other people and being like, oh, this is weird. And, you know, I think it's like a whole mess of social anxiety comes back.
Yeah.
Because the one person that liked you is gone now.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Because when were most of these songs written?
This is... we'll see, like 2012, 2013, like that year.
Is it still tough to kind of play some of these at all? Like, does it bring, like, when you're playing some of this music, does it bring back that raw emotion from when you wrote it and were experiencing it?
It can be, you know, sometimes if it's like I guess it really depends on the show and like how I'm feeling, but. Sometimes it's like, oh, that song's on the set, you know,
oh,
and
really?
It's like, here we go.
So you will like it. It'll bring that stuff right back up, right?
Yeah, it takes a toll sometimes. But
yeah, yeah.
I feel like at the same time, I'm like, well, when I see other people perform, like that is part of the coolness of watching them perform.
Well, sure. You're putting your heart and soul into it, right?
Yeah.
And you're watching, like when people go to see this stuff played live, like that's part of what you're seeing too. You're seeing the artist like really put it on the line for you. Right?
Yeah.
Cause I mean, these songs are raw, man. Like this is a very raw album. Like you are wearing your heart on your sleeve in some of these songs, and which I commend you for, because I mean it's a beautiful thing. It really is. And when people go, they kind of expect to see you showing that too, right? Is that part of the live show? I guess.
I mean, I guess so. I don't think I ever. It's like ever. Maybe intentional.
Sure. Yeah.
But
I mean, not that they want to show up and just see, let's go watch Jen Ghetto just ball on stage.
I usually, this is what reactions I get. Oh, I had to leave the room. Like, I can't watch you play. It's just too much. You know,
what,
like
really?
People will tell me that afterwards sometimes, which is, it's like really flattering to me. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, okay.
Well, I'd much rather you stay in the room. That's like my voyeur show. That's what happened at the voyeur. We were just too raw
emotion.
Yeah, totally. Airing some of your grievances during the shows that you're playing now in support of Cool Choices. Are you ever afraid of like sharing too much in the music, or is that not something that you even think about?
I don't think about it when I'm writing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I'm just writing and a cool song, but I definitely on the point of like, am I going to put this on a record?
Yeah.
That's, you know, I felt that a little bit on this record, which I was like, this is a bit exposing, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just kind of decided I guess I wanted the record to be kind of as stab you in the gut as possible. You know, like, all right, if I'm going to do it.
It might as well go all the way, right?
Put these other songs up there, you know.
Now, does your ex-partner or ex-boyfriend or girlfriend know about this album, and have they listened to it?
They do. Yeah. I guess it's hard to put it, like, the entire record on one person, too. You know, like, it was certainly out of a breakup with a person, but, you know, like, it's so many things come up in a breakup with, like, you know, stuff with other people and...
Yeah.
Stuff that, like, you know, I think there's like a mishmash of, you know, I guess things that I don't know. My brain's is like, oh, this is a really personal question.
It is kind of a personal question. And I mean, this show gets a little personal sometimes, but you don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't really know how to answer that one.
Okay. That's fair. That's totally fair. Yeah. Are you happy with how the album turned out?
Yeah, I think it sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like Chris Walla really kept a sense of intimacy in there.
Yeah, totally.
Which was cool.
He's a fantastic dude.
Fantastic guy.
Yeah.
What a wonderful man.
Yeah. I love that guy. And he's so nice and so down to earth for, like, being where he's been.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just blows you away.
Yeah.
What was the experience like working with Chris on this record? Like, was that a huge thing for you? Like, were you just like, holy shit, I'm going to be working with Chris Walla. He's going to be producing my record.
Yeah. I mean, I'd
be shitting a brick.
It was, I mean, I worked to get him to do the record,
but once
like it was actually happening, cause it was like really tentative for months. Mm-hmm. And then it was finally like, there was a date. Going in the studio, because like I feel like in the record business, like, you can't really count on anything till it's you're doing it,
till it's happening. yeah, totally.
And so, like, when we were in the studio, I was like, oh, this is happening, we're here with Chris Walla, this is awesome. And he was so great and, like, just amazing to watch work, you know. Like, he knew all the songs and he wanted to keep everything pretty much how we had it, but just do his thing. And
yeah.
It was just funny to watch him, like, stop. And he'd be like, okay, I have a terrible idea, you guys. And then it'd be, like, 2 hours of him, like, going through stuff and tape reels. And you're just like, what's Chris doing?
Just trying to find, like, something to add into it or something?
What's he just, doing? Like, a way to record something, or putting a compressor on something.
Yeah.
Even, like, I think it's like his studio assistant would build a pedal and he'd bring it over, and
they would build a pedal and plug it into the guitar.
Like, I mean, the guy just built pedals, and like sometimes he'd come over and be like, hey, I built this new pedal. And Chris was like, let's try it out. See what it does.
That's great.
I think it was cool to just see, like, I don't think it just felt like Chris didn't really plan anything. It was just kind of like, ooh, let's try this.
He's feeling it. He's one of those natural guys. Like, when we had him in here, he talked a lot about, like, you know, using analog equipment and how much he loved using analog equipment, because he could kind of feel it out, you know?
Yeah.
And just go with it where it would go, you know? I mean, that's an amazing feat. To be able to do, especially now with everything being digital, you know?
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah. That's awesome though. I'm really happy, happy that you worked with him and he came out with that. I mean, the result is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
Yeah. That's great. Are you still excited about the future for Cool Choices?
I do. I'm excited about it. You know, it's cool. I think we did some different stuff on this record. Mm-hmm. You know, and even, like, I had done a little electronic stuff before, but it was fun to kind of mess around with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of like, you know, everyone likes piano ballads, you know, and I was like, I'm thinking about making this one electronic. And then, but Chris was like, ooh, yeah, let's do it electronic.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
I think it was a good idea. And are you happy with everything else too? Are you feeling good about things? Like listening to this record, I was like, oh man, I hope she's okay.
Right. I feel like that's the thing, like with this record, it definitely, it's this really sad record, but I think by the end of writing it, I also felt better about things and good. Like, oh, you can work through something and, mm-hmm. you know, not feel like everything's the worst yeah. at some point. Yeah. It just takes a while. So I feel better. I'm so excited about working with Hardly Art because I've never been excited about this part of a record before,
uh-huh.
like promoting it.
Yeah.
But they make it really easy.
Oh, yeah. And they're great people there,
they're
too.
They're great
man.
People.
Yeah, I love working with them. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, Jen, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
I really like it.
The record Cool Choices is out tomorrow. What's the best place to get it? Like, should they buy it from you guys while you're on tour or what?
Tours are probably the best place to get it.
Yeah.
But also at record stores is cool.
Yeah. And are you going to have it on vinyl too?
It is on vinyl. Gold vinyl.
Gold vinyl?
Well, I think there is a limited gold vinyl.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But that's so cool.
Yeah. I was like, well, if I can have a gold record one time, I'll do it.
That's awesome, man. That's so great. Cool Choices. Go and check it out. Jen, thank you once again
thank
for
you.
Coming on. Yeah. And website, Twitter, Facebook. You guys are all over the place, right?
I have all those things.
All right. So just Google search it.
Google search Jen Ghetto because S is impossible.
Oh, really? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And remember, you can find out more about us by visiting www.air-raid.net and click on the Archives tab and listen to all of the past episodes for free right on the website. You can hear episodes with Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie. How about Chris Ballou from Presidents of the United States of America? How about Mark Arm from the band Mudhoney? How about Macklemore? Yeah, there you go. Macklemore. Jim Brewer from Saturday Night Live. Bob Saget. Yeah, that Bob Saget. Mike Birbiglia, Eddie Pepitone, Pete Holmes. Oh, man, it's all there for your listening pleasure, and we really hope you enjoy it. Hey, this thing, too. Why don't you guys tell your friends about the show? If you enjoyed what you heard today, please share it on your social media, on Facebook and Twitter, and tell your friends. Tell your friends about the show, because, we want to reach out, and we want to spread this music and this comedy to everybody we can. So we need your help. Tell your friends. Yeah, do that. All right. Go out and buy the album, Cool Choices, out tomorrow, September 22nd. And we're going to go out today with another song off of that album. It's called Brunch by Jen Ghetto of the band S. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This is Brunch by S. And we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Have a good one, everybody. It's so hard.